We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning on this day before Easter Sunday, Easter Eve. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And boy, this is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from Trinity Lutheran in Darmstadt and St. Paul's in New Athens, Illinois. And man, I wish you could have heard the show we recorded a half hour ago. It was probably one of the best shows we ever recorded.
It was radio gold.
It was, but we forgot to press the record button. That's what we're thinking. We have no idea. It's not there where it's supposed to be. So we're trying to do it a second time because we love you. Other show people would have simply said, that's it. We messed up.
Rerun time.
They're on their own. They can make up their own show. But not us. We're trying to do it a second time again on this day before Easter.
Hardest working pastors on KFUO on Saturday mornings at 9:05.
That's right. And hardest working because we're just so dumb.
I know. I wish that Pastor Jolly John was joking, but he's not.
It's the truth.
and we didn't notice it until we had talked for 24 minutes.
And then we realized
we've practiced up.
Yeah, that's good. And so maybe this will actually be a better show, you know. And it does kind of, why does that happen? You do something, and it's not a bad thing. It was a good thing. We're trying to do the best we can, and yet somehow it doesn't work out. But that's kind of what we were talking about last week.
By the way, this is, I don't think we announced
it. That's right. We didn't. Okay, yes, right. We are.
Wrestling with the basics. They probably figured that out already, though.
It is the pattern of life. We were talking about Holy Week being the pattern of life.
Yes.
And so maybe this actually does fit in perfectly because the disciples, they thought the pattern of life was that Jesus Christ was going to go into Jerusalem. He was going to throw out the corrupt Jewish leaders. He would lead an armed band to overcome the Roman oppressors. And they would sit on 12 thrones ruling over the tribes of Israel with, of course, James and John sitting on the right and left.
And
like we said, as Jesus said to them, well, the glory's there. There's no doubt about it. We're getting ready. Tomorrow will be the glorious day of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
He's risen indeed, yeah.
Hallelujah. But as Jesus said to them, well, first, though, there's the cup to drink. There's the baptism to be baptized with, which is, of course, what Holy Week was all about, the sufferings and the struggles and the crosses that we're all enduring. Again, please keep my dear son-in-law, Tim Lloyd, for he will go into Easter being treated for lymphoma. And it hasn't been easy. It's been a struggle and a difficulty. But we, of course, hope for the hope that comes with Easter, with the fact that, yeah, there's suffering and death, but there's also resurrection. And it doesn't necessarily need to be something in the future. We hope and pray it'll be here and now. They have good hopes for him. They think the treatments will succeed, and so we pray that he will be. What's the word that cancer people use in remission? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're hoping and praying for. However, here was the thing that we teased people with about last week. Jesus, of course, says that the consequence of the cup he drinks and the baptism with which he is baptized is that he would give his life as a ransom for many. He's purchasing us. He's buying us because we used to belong to the devil. The devil had no claim over us. He didn't do anything to gain us. He got us by default.
Yeah.
But God says, I'm making a price. I'm paying a price so these people will belong to me. I own them now. I gave up the life of my son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So now I can claim that they belong to me. But of course, Jesus left us with words that we should be servant and we should be slave of all, which last week left us with thinking, oh, so that's what Jesus did. He bought us so that we can be slaves of God.
To be slaves, yeah.
But on Easter morning, we learned that's not what it was about at all, was it, Matt?
No.
In fact, on Easter morning, what was the one thing? We'll put Matt on the spot. It really isn't on the spot anymore because we already did this once. But we'll pretend that this is Matt being caught completely off guard here.
You'll play along with that? Like, you've never heard this question before?
Okay, I can do that. I can play dumb.
All right.
That's not a problem.
What was the thing on Easter morning that Jesus called his disciples that he had never called them before? Before he had called them his servants? I think there was actually one time when he called them slaves. Isn't that what, when we're all done, the best we can say is we're nothing but unworthy slaves? But what was the thing he called his disciples on Easter that he'd never called them before?
Calls them brothers.
Yeah.
Brothers.
So the suffering and death and the resurrection changes everything. We do belong to God, but not as his slaves. He has no need for slaves. Everyone is his slave. Everyone does what God wants them to do, whether they like it or not. Well, I mean, just think about the whole Holy Week thing.
Mm-hmm.
Caiaphas, God's slave.
Yeah.
Just doing what God wanted to do. Judas, God's slave. Just doing what God wanted him to do.
Yeah, you see that throughout the scriptures, and especially in Jesus' life, that how God can work through even the powerful of the world, people who would never consider themselves slaves, to bring about his will, his plan of salvation, the census that took place because of Caesar at Jesus' birth.
You know, and,
they
and
go to
Pilate,
Bethlehem.
And King Herod. They thought they were in control. But they were just instruments.
Yeah. Pilate's words, don't you know that I have the power to free you or to crucify you?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Then Jesus' reminder, you know, you would have no power if it wasn't given to you from above.
That's right. So anyway, we rejoice in the fact that God didn't pay for us that we might be his slaves, but he paid for us that he might have many, because he gave his ransom for many, many sons, many daughters, brothers with Jesus Christ. In fact, the remarkable thing is Jesus says, don't call him God anymore. Don't call him. No, pray our
Father.
Father, yeah, that's the great thing. There.
Just an incredible, and again, just acknowledge the immense love that our God has for us. In that, like you said, already belonging to Satan, to sin, to death, you know, by nature sinful and unclean, as David writes in the Psalms, sinful from birth, from the time we're conceived, and then yet we're bought back, and we're bought back through Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, and called sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. That's incredible.
It is.
Why,
it is
why would God do that? Well, we don't deserve it, but just purely out of his divine goodness and mercy.
And I'm glad you brought up that we don't deserve it. I'll tell you why God did it, because he needs people down here to be working for him, but not working as slaves, but working as his children. We have been sent out into the garden. Because there are people that we need to care for and love, as he talked about last week. It's not about dominating people. We don't need to dominate people. We are sons of the King.
Yeah.
There's no need to dominate anybody. Our Father is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Or actually, our brother is. I'm sorry. Our Father is the Almighty Creator of the universe.
Yeah.
But he has called us then to serve one another and to be slaves to one another, which, of course, is part of the reason is their struggle and trials. It's hard to take care of people. Dear Kara, taking care of Tim, that's been a very difficult thing for her. Well, difficult thing for Tim to struggle through the weakness of the flesh with the cancer there. But the wonderful thing, and I want to emphasize that, and then we're going to move on to something else, is this glory we have, the resurrection we will celebrate tomorrow, the eternal life, the promise of heaven and a place in our Father's mansion. That is not dependent upon how well we serve. It is not dependent upon the fact that we've been such good slaves. In fact, as we already alluded, the best we can say is we've just been unworthy slaves. That's the best we can claim. But no, we can be guaranteed for that blessing and that hope and that future because Christ did pay the ransom. That's the only thing that changes anything. And now we just want to love the way Christ has loved us.
Yeah.
That's all we're trying to do. Just love the way he's loved us. And with that confidence that we're not slaves. We don't have to do something to please God. No, we are already his beloved children. Mm-hmm.
That's just who we are. That's our identity. And the loving of others that we do and the sharing of that good news that we do with others, you know, not the reason for our salvation, but it's the result of our salvation.
Yeah.
As his people, it's what we do.
Not because we need to do it to become something, but we do it because we already are.
We are something.
Yeah.
Ransomed through, you know, as the catechism says, not gold and silver, but as holy precious blood. is innocent suffering, death, most precious thing there is.
Now, you were reminding us in the show that didn't get recorded that we actually kind of focused on that yesterday. I know we're anticipating Easter, and next week we'll share our favorite Easter stories.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But maybe it is best to look back and talk a little bit about that day when we were ransomed. You do a special thing on Good Friday, you were saying. In fact, your whole circuit does a special thing.
Yes. Yeah, so on Good Friday, we have what's called a traore service, and that's a 3-hour long service. Yeah, traore is, I think it's Latin for really long church service.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. Really long church service.
But the time flies, and it really does, because it's not just Pastor Clark up there teaching, not just Matt preaching away, but it's our circuit. And so pastors and some of the musicians from our churches gather together for this service, and it's split up into basically 20-minute intervals over this 3-hour time period. And the hours that it takes place is from noon to 3, those same hours of darkness that we read about on Good Friday as Jesus is there on the cross. And for each 20-minute interval, we focus on a different word of Jesus, a different phrase of Jesus from the cross itself, what Jesus said from the cross. And so as pastors, we read those words, and then we have a 10-minute or so homily reflecting on those words, and then usually some special music, and we separate that among the congregations too, some special music that goes during that 20-minute time slot as well. So
now I'm just trying to figure out the logistics of this. So you come to a church and you do your 20-minute thing, and then you've got to rush over to another church to do
So it's all at one church.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And so this year it was at St. John's on Morgan Ford.
Okay.
In the city. And broadcast live here on KFUO Radio. Yes,
okay.
Yes. So if you missed it this year, be sure to tune in next year. It's broadcast live. You can check that out, listen from home, or if you're at work or in the car. But then also, if you can come, please do come. It's in the South St. Louis area. It rotates church to church.
Let me make a little suggestion to you, Matt. Maybe next year we should announce this before.
Yeah, well, now they have a whole year to plan our listeners.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. We're
planners.
Just trying to get on
the calendar now.
So, all right,
we're ahead of the game. No, but it really is a unique event. It's very worshipful, and really, you know, divided into 20 minutes, the time does fly.
Oh,
I'm not
does.
Just saying
it,
it really does go by
that.
Quickly.
And what is there, like a theme to these 20-minute things that you're doing?
Well, basically, they're guided by the words from the cross.
Oh, that's right.
That
you said that. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, that's okay. Even though this is the second time we've talked about it.
I know. You think by now I'd remember.
No, that's okay. So
what? Tell us now, what was the word you were assigned?
Yes. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beautiful words of Christ. Well, they all are, and all significant. But
yes,
you know, usually what Jesus
right.
says is pretty good stuff in general, right? So last year, we're always assigned different ones. We kind of rotate.
Okay.
And last year it was, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Ah,
and Jesus,
okay.
of course, speaks those
okay.
words to the penitent thief on the cross. But this year, Father, forgive them.
And, you know, it's my theory that it's kind of interesting. You got those two passages, because my theory is those words actually belong together. They fit together. In fact, if I remember correctly, they are the words recorded in the Gospel of Luke.
Yes.
Are they not?
I believe you are right. Yes. Very good. The Gospel of Luke.
Because you have this deal, you know, with the thief on the cross saying, Jesus saying to the thief on the cross, excuse me, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Uh-huh.
But what has always amazed me is, where did the thief get the audacity to have asked Jesus? To have said to Jesus, you know, we're getting what we deserve here, but will you remember me when you come in your kingdom? And I'm thinking, because, you know, this guy's mocking him like everybody else. That's what Mark tells us, that at first this thief on the cross was making fun of him, just like the...
Oh, yeah. Both
the,
of them were.
The crowds and the soldiers. Yeah.
I think it's important to note.
And so I always thought, well, where in the world does he get the courage to ask Jesus to remember him? I'm thinking maybe you'd want Jesus to forget you, you know? But then again, it comes from that other passage that's recorded in Luke. Father,
yes.
forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity, and I would even say the faith to ask at that point, too.
Yeah.
And really, that source of faith is really the same as the reason any of us have faith. It's the work of God through his word. by the power of his Spirit. And having heard that word of forgiveness from Jesus' lips, and words of forgiveness for the very ones who put him there on the cross, Father, forgive them, we can see, God's word works. Yep. It works here in the life of that penitent thief on the cross.
And what a remarkable story, because why would God, I'm sure everybody else thought that guy was going to hell. We talked about hell a few weeks ago, and I'm sure if we talked about the fact that there are people and they just have to go to hell. They could not possibly be the way they were in heaven, then it wouldn't be heaven. And I'm sure that's what a lot of people thought about this guy. They thought, there's a guy that deserves to go to hell. He's just mean. He's just nasty. And yet, in his dying breath, he repents of his meanness and nastiness. And of course, Jesus Christ says, no, today you won't be with me in hell. You will be with me in paradise. And again, as we always say, we're not advocating this. Don't wait until your last breath to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, let us begin every day repenting and recognizing the sin that is in us. But the fact of the matter is, if you did that, that's all God wants. He just wants us to be in paradise. He's just looking for us to accept the gift that he's given us and not reject it.
So, yeah, it's beautiful. So this passage, descriptive rather than prescriptive. So,
there you go.
It's not prescribing, no. Waiting to the last minute before we repent and before we believe. But, on the other hand, I do think that this is a verse of comfort, too, for maybe some of our listeners who have family members, loved ones, who maybe just have kind of closed their ears to the good news of Jesus Christ and don't believe, similar to this thief, at least initially. But yet, it's never too late. It's never too late while here on this earth. So continue to share that word of God with them, that same word of forgiveness that works in the heart and life of the thief. And we pray that it will work in the heart and lives of those that we share it with as well.
And we need to remember that not only for the sake of the people that we are concerned about, but we need to remember it for ourselves, because we never know what sin we might fall into. And it's important for us to remember, it's not good to sin. It hurts you. It hurts the people around you. We're not advocating that. But even if you would sin, the Lord Jesus Christ still simply is praying, Father, forgive them. That's what he wants. That's all God ever wants for us is forgiveness. There's other words, though, right?
Yes.
Are there other words that Jesus spoke from the cross?
Seven,
can you remember?
Seven words.
Seven. We know there's seven. All right, we got two.
Let's see if we
forgive them, remember me. What are the other ones?
Remember me, not remember me, but you'll be with me in paradise.
You'll be with me in paradise. That's the one word of the thief. He only gets one word. Jesus has seven words.
There you go. And then... Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
All right.
So those are all from Luke. The words of Luke.
Oh, is that right?
Record.
Those are the three ones from Luke? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Yeah, very good. So then if we go to John, as I page through here,
I thirst. Okay. Which is just a neat text to remind us that this is truly Jesus Christ, the man. Who's
true
struggling.
Man. Yeah. Oh, I know. The thirst like us. Exactly. The pain of death. And then John also records, it is finished.
It is finished. Which, again, see, all of these are neat, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. They're all just packed with meaning. I mean, we could do a whole series of these words.
I've always loved the it is finished, because I'm wondering if the people at his feet were thinking, oh, it's over and done with. He's finally been defeated.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Of course, what he really means is, no, what we talked about last week, that he's come to give his life as a ransom for many. That's finished. Nothing more needs to be done, not by you or by me or anybody. Yeah. No, everything's necessary that we now would be belonging to God as his dear children. It's all been paid.
Yeah, he's done it. He's fulfilled it. Mission accomplished.
I like that. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, and the agony of the garden is over. That cup he did drink of that we talked about last week, and it is finished. But Matthew's gospel has, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Which, I'd like to pair that up with the other one you mentioned from Luke about Father, into thy hand commend my spirit.
Yeah.
I think of my dear friend and son-in-law, Tim Lloyd. I'm sure even in his family there are times, why have you forsaken us, God? Why are you letting this go on? And it's just such a great comfort to know, no, God hasn't forsaken us. Other gods have. What other God knows about that kind of loneliness and that forsaken feeling? But our God does. He's been there. He knows exactly what we're going through. But of course, in the end, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Because no, we haven't been abandoned. The Lord is still watching over us. even as God remembers Noah and the ark after 150 days of being in a storm, you know. That's a great comfort to know that at times we pray and we can't. See, that's anything. At times we can cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we do so with the hope that someday we will cry out, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. These are things that we all say as Christians, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense because we are connected to Christ, right?
He
blazes a trail. He goes before us in his death and then certainly his resurrection, but we're connected to that death and to that resurrection in baptism.
If you're united with him in his death, you're united with him in his resurrection and his life. Yeah. So thank you for bringing in baptism again. So how do we know this? Because that's what he said happened when we were baptized. Yeah. No separation, no division from here, because that's what he says.
And so, with this death we're talking about, connected to Christ there, but also that resurrection we'll talk about next week on Wrestling with the Basics, connected to that as well.
Now, according to my count, we're still missing one.
Okay.
There's one more word we haven't got yet.
Let's see what we have here. We missing?
You knew the brother thing, but now you're doing this. You do this every year.
Oh no, the mom.
The mom. That's right.
It's concerned for
mom,
Mary.
Behold your son. Behold your mom.
the mom one. But isn't that beautiful too? I think, just Jesus' love for the world, certainly, but also for us as individuals, too. And that love individually for his mother, for Mary, and for John as well, and that care that he has for her.
And a reminder that there are no flukes and accidents. Our struggles and trials are not flukes or accidents. We can always have hope in our struggles and trials because the Lord is in control. He's going to make that work out. Our deliverance is not a fluke or accident. No, this was planned from the very beginning that Jesus would suffer and die, pay the ransom for us. And our life here on earth is not a fluke or accident. There are people out there we need to love and to care for. And it might be difficult at some times. It might involve some struggles and sacrifices. But it's a good thing. Yeah, God's put us here because there are people that we need to take care of. And so John was there to take care of Mary. Yeah.
And it's just incredible, the concern and the love that Jesus has for others as he is suffering the pain of the cross.
Oh, yeah.
For his mother and for John, for the thief of all people dying next to him who did who knows what during his life here on earth. And even for the very people nailed him there, saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And really, that shouldn't come as any surprise, because the whole reason that Jesus is there on the cross is for others. It's not for himself. But the whole reason that he's suffering and dying is for the world.
Well, and I appreciate that thought, Matt, because sometimes when we are having our crosses and our trials, we begin to feel guilty. You know, the devil comes in and enters our head and says, well, of course you're having. Think of the things you've done. Think how you're doubting God. No wonder you're suffering. And it's such a good thing to go back and hear the word of God. Remember, that's not the kind of God we have. No, he's a God who loves and cares for us, even when we're doubting, even when we're having our struggles and trials. No, it has nothing to do with how we are, how we're handling things, or how good we are. No, we just have to trust in the mercy and forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ, who all these beautiful things, even praying, Father, forgive him. If we were nailing him to a cross, he'd still be praying for our forgiveness.
Yeah. So, incredible.
Yeah.
Well, did you want to just announce what's going on tonight?
There is one more service before the big Easter to-do, and that's tonight at our place at 6 o'clock. We have a little Easter vigil. Come and join us, and we'll be having a service of readings. We read all these classic passages of where God has delivered his people in the past, culminating, of course, with the story of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Then at 7 o'clock, we're going to do baptisms at that service, too, and we're having a renewal of all of our baptismal vows.
Excellent.
And then afterwards, we're going over to the church basement and have a little Italian dinner with spaghetti and lasagna and salad and garlic bread and pizza. And then we come back over to the church for a short communion service. So if anybody wants to join us for the vigil tonight, it'll be at 6 o'clock at New Athens, at St. Paul's.
St. Paul's in New Athens. Excellent. All right. Well, until next week, when we celebrate our Lord's resurrection, that Saturday following Easter Sunday, God be with you this Easter and blessed Easter as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection.